chapter 5, verse number 1. It came to pass, as the people pressed upon him to hear the word of God by the lake of Gennesaret, and saw two ships standing by the lake, but the fishermen were gone out of them and were washing their nets. And he entered into one of the ships, which was Simon's, and prayed him that he would thrust out a little from the land. And he sat down and taught the people out of the ship. And when he had left speaking, he said unto Simon, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a draught. I do want to just define that word draught there. It refers to a large school of fishes, a large catch, a large take. And Simon, who's Peter, answering, said unto him, Master, we have toiled all the night and have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word I will let down the net. And when they had this done, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes, and their net brake. And they beckoned unto their partners, which were in the other ship, that they should come and help them. And they came and filled both the ships, so that they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. For he was astonished at all that were with him at the draught of the fishes which they had taken. And so was also James and John, the sons of Zebedee, which were partners with Simon. And Jesus said unto Simon, Fear not, from henceforth thou shalt catch men. And when they had brought their ships to land, they forsook all and followed him. This whole episode of fishing here in this story was so that the Lord could make a spiritual application, and that of fishing for men. And as we will see later in the message, these three and others, Peter, James, and John, certainly caught that spiritual application. In Matthew 4 and verse 19, Jesus said, Follow me, and ye shall become fishers of men. In Mark 1:17, he used a little bit different words. He said, Come ye after me, and I will make you to become fishers of men. And I want to talk about these nets today and letting down our nets. Letting down our nets. And I just want to give you a little bit of a philosophy for life that each one of us needs to be involved in, and that is fishing for men. If we are following the Lord, as He said, we will eventually be equipped and trained by the Lord to fish for men. Let me quote again, Mark 1:17, Come ye after me, and I will make you to become fishers of men. Follow me, and you shall be fishers of men. Someone once observed very wisely, he said, if we're not fishing, we're not following. If we're not fishing, we're not following. We could be doing everything else, but we're not following. If we're not fishing for men. Follow me, and I will make you to become fishers of men. When I got saved, I was a little 12-year-old boy. When I got saved and trusted Christ as my Savior, it was glorious. Man, I was a little pistol. I was a wicked little boy. And the Lord saved me and changed me just like dramatically. I couldn't swear anymore. I couldn't use profanity. I quit being a little vandal and a little thief. And just so many things just radically changed all of a sudden. But one of the things that I was just impressed upon, as soon as I was saved, it was that my friends need to hear this. I remember going to school and finding the first friend I could. We were in the library one day during a study hall period, and on the side room there was a little bit of a audiovisual room, they called it. And I took my buddy over in that room and said, I got to tell you something that happened to me, and I shared the gospel with him. And right in that room, I think I was probably 13 years of age, I led him to Jesus Christ. He prayed and believed and trusted Christ as his Savior, and I began to lead other kids to Christ there in high school. I went to the public school. Over in Orchard Park. Years later, after I graduated, I went to our 20th anniversary of our graduation, and a whole bunch of people that I had graduated with 20 years later came up to me and said, "Art, I've gotten saved. I've trusted Christ as my Savior. I remember when you used to tell me about Christ in high school. And I didn't get saved then. In fact, some of those people laughed at me then and mocked me out and so on and so forth. And I used to carry a big King James Bible to school every day. It was a Thompson Chain Reference Bible, just like I have here. I've used this since 1972. Not this one, but Thompson Chain Reference Bible. I used to take that to school, and I'd try to find during study halls or when lunch was over with, everybody was sitting around the big entranceway, and I'd try to find different kids, sit down and talk to them about Christ. And it was glorious, and it was just something I felt I should do. I just felt I shouldn't keep this story to myself. I should try to tell others about the Lord. And I wish I would have done a whole lot more of it since then, but over these years I've tried to witness to people and win people to Christ, talk to them about their souls, pass out tracts, and be a testimony. I hope you are too. I hope you'll follow the Lord. Follow the Lord. And so he uses fishing. He uses fishing here as a metaphor for a spiritual application, something that most people are either familiar with or have observed. Now, I am probably the least qualified in this room to talk about fishing. All right? I think I've been fishing once in my life. We didn't go on vacations growing up. We lived on a farm. And we just worked 7 days a week. That's just the way it was. We never had a vacation. I never went out of New York State till I was about, I think, 15 or 16 when we took my brother George down to Lancaster, Pennsylvania to his Bible college and then drove back. It's the first time I was ever out of New York. And we just grew up in one of those homes. Never went to a movie in my life growing up. Never had a television in the home. We really never did. Never had running water in the barns. We had to pump it and carry the water in to the animals every day, every morning, every night. Never gave you a day off. But to me, that was normal. I'm not complaining. That's just what I knew. You know, normal is what basically we know. And it was hard work, but we got saved. And my dad got saved first. About a year later, he got me and my brother saved. And we realized that we needed to win souls to Christ. And I remember one weekend or something, we went out to Canisius Lake, one of the Finger Lakes, and we went fishing. Caught some fish. And that was the only time I've ever been fishing. I'm the least experienced in this room to talk about fishing. But I know this. I know this much about fishing. There's basically two ways to catch fish. Number one is with a pole. Number two is with a net. And I believe our Lord would have us use both methods when we're fishing for men. When you fish with a pole, you're winning people to Christ one-on-one. We need to be individual soul winners. Every one of us should fish with a pole spiritually. Every one of us should become well enough versed to share the gospel intelligently with somebody who is lost. So the Bible says they can understand with the heart and be converted. We shouldn't be scatterbrained. Our presentation should be accurate. And if it is, it will be accompanied by the power of the Holy Ghost. For the gospel is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believes. I have seen people memorize a gospel presentation and have used the same memorized gospel presentation hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of times, and it works. Why? Because it's not the soul winner, it is the power of the gospel that converts the sinner. And that's fishing with a pole. That's winning people one by one. Every one of us needs to get a fishing pole spiritually. If you don't have one, you need to get a fishing pole as part of your equipment as a Christian, as a disciple of Christ. You need to know why, because there's people who aren't going to come to church. You know that. And they're not going to cross paths with our soul winning programs, but at your place of work or in your neighborhood, in your family, you're going to be able to put your pole in. And I know that another thing about fishing is some days you go out and you don't catch anything. You just get a bunch of worms wet. But eventually, if you are patient, you will catch a fish. I do not know of any fisherman who ever went out all of his life and said, I've never caught a fish. Eventually, they catch a fish. And you, as a believer in Jesus Christ, you need to try to fish for men. Jesus said, I will make you to become fishers of men. And eventually, you will win others to Christ. And you need to. You need to. I remember some of those kids I went to school in high school. They never lived to be 18. They died in car wrecks. I remember one in particular. I used to beg him to leave the crowd he was in. He was running with the wrong crowd. He was the best miler and two-miler I ever seen, and we needed him on our track team. We ended up winning it all without him. But around 10th grade, I mean, he was a cross-country runner, runs a mile, 2 miles. He never lost. It's amazing. But he started to get in the wrong crowd. He started drinking and all kinds of things. And I tried to beg him. I had a little bit, I guess, of a pastor's heart back then. I tried to beg him not to do that. I said, we need you on the team. I tried to win him to Christ. And when he was 18 years of age, he was drunk. Got his license. And the ironic thing was when we took driver education, he was in the very car with me. The two guys that were in the car with me both died in car wrecks when they were drunk during driver education. And you never know. It's nice to think that those kids you go to school with, those people you work with, it's nice to think they're going to live good long lives, but it doesn't always work that way. Accidents happen all the time. Funeral directors did a survey one time nationwide. They found all funerals, all deaths, or they said, 25% of all deaths are sudden. Sudden. Absolutely no preparation for them. And people need to be saved. There is not one word in this blessed book about praying for the dead. Not one word. I've read it through 34 times. I can't find a word that even indicates that we should pray for the dead. People must, in this life, before they die, come to the knowledge of Jesus Christ and receive Him as their Savior before they head off into eternity. Because it's too late then for them to make a decision for Christ. We need to know how to lead people to Christ. We need to get a fishing pole. But there's another way to go fishing, and that is with a net. And we need to implement both methods in the Lord's work, as individuals, as a church, as a chapel. Let down your nets, Jesus said here in verse number 5, for a draught. Let down your nets. For a draught. Stick a whole bunch of nets. If you go down to the Dunkirk Pier about 3, 3:30 in the morning, I won't meet you there. But you'll see the fishing boats go out. I guarantee you, every one of them's got nets on board. They're going to drop those nets into Lake Erie every morning. And then they bring them back and they empty out the nets. And I don't know where the fish go or what they do with them. But the commercial fishermen, they don't go out with poles. They go out with nets. And the Lord is trying to use that. I know we hear a lot about personal soul winning, or maybe we don't, but we should. That's good. That's biblical, using a pole. But we also need to have a philosophy in the Lord's work where we let down our nets. This whole story, this whole episode was illustration, an outward illustration of a spiritual truth of how the Lord wanted them to fish with nets. The Lord said, when it was all over with, He said, fear not, From henceforth thou shalt catch men. Did the Lord keep his word? These three guys were there on Pentecost in Acts chapter 2 when they caught 3,000 men. Peter, James, and John. That sounds like a draught, doesn't it? These guys were there in Acts chapter 4 and verse 4 when they caught 5,000 men. Sounds like a draught. These men, Peter, James, and John, were there in Acts chapter number 5 and verse 4 when it says, and they caught multitudes, both men and women. They couldn't even number them. So what the Lord promised here in Luke 5, he fulfilled. He said, from hence, you're going to catch men the same method. You're going to have draughts of fishes, not just one-on-one, which is very important, all of us do, but you're going to have a draught of fishes. You're going to let down some nets. And man, they had some what we might call big days. The Lord keeps his word. The Lord said, just like you did with these fish one day, where you both your ships would start sinking. Well, I don't know, I long for the day when both the church and the chapel just start sinking. We just say, we got too many people around here. What are we going to do? Wouldn't that be great? I think our Lord wants that, but we need to get back to individual soul winning and also letting down a net. That'd be nice if this church just began to sink and that chapel began to sink and people started saying, Pastor Cole, we got to have more room. What do we do? What do we do around here? It'd be nice if we had to beckon someone else or say, man, we got to have another ship. We got to do something. We got to plant another church or something. Get a bigger building. This is what our Lord's talking about. Let's just go through this story, make a few observations here, and then we'll have some prayer about this matter this morning. I want you to notice that verse 1, it says, it came to pass as the people pressed upon him to hear the word of God. He stood by the lake of Gennesaret, and a lot of people wanted to come and hear him, but it was always just a few people who ended up doing the work. Lake of Gennesaret is Tiberias. Galilee, same, all three names, same place. Little lake up there in the north of what we call Israel today. It's only 13 miles long, 7 miles across. Real small lake. My wife and I went across it on a boat one time. It was clear as glass. But there's other times where it's so shallow, the winds kick up storms real bad. Now, while he's by the lake of Gennesaret, he saw two ships standing by the lake, but the fishermen were gone out of them, and were washing their nets. Nothing wrong with preparation. They had to have clean nets. They had to get all the sticks and seaweed and everything else out of them. In Mark and Matthew's account, it says they were mending their nets. Time spent in preparation is not wasted time. When it comes to dropping nets in the water, we ought to be prepared. We ought to be clean. We ought to be washed. We ought to have our nets ready and functioning. It's like Vacation Bible School over there. I don't think we're ready. I think our nets are a mess. But we're going to drop the thing anyway and see what happens. Preparation. And then instruction, verse number 3. And he entered into one of the ships, which was Simon's, and prayed him that he would thrust out a little from the land. And he sat down and taught the people out of the ship. It's good to have some instruction about soul winning. It's good to have some instruction about ministries. I mean, it sure beats going out there not knowing what you're saying. But listen, don't wait. All right? Do not wait the rest of your life till. I mean, there's people who've attended soul-winning seminars for decades and never have won a soul to Christ. I mean, there's times where you got to get some teaching out of the ship. But verse 4 says, now when he had left action, he said unto Simon, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a draught. There comes time for action. So we see preparation, we see instruction, but then there's got to be some action. You just got to go out. You just got to go out into the deep where you got to just kind of trust the Lord. You know, sink or swim. You hear about that guy they rescued on Lake Erie yesterday? He treaded water for 2 hours. Man, if that was me, you'd be doing my funeral this week. He treaded water, 56 years old. He was out there treading water for 2 hours. His fishing pole went off the boat. His motor was running. He went to grab his fishing pole, fell in the water. His boat took off on him. He treaded water 56 for 2 hours just yesterday out on the lake. And somebody noticed an empty boat, and they sent out a searcher and a guy from Angola. Man, that's something else. But, you know, launch out of the deep, man. You're out there by faith. You are out there by faith. Let down your nets for a draught. Now, you notice the word nets is plural in verse 4, and the word net is singular in verse 5. Why? Because it says this, here comes the professional, all right? Verse 5, here comes the professional. There's always a professional who wants to tell you, the soul winner, how you should do it, or you shouldn't do it. Have you ever noticed? Those of you that are soul winners. There's always somebody who's going to tell you you're doing it wrong or why it's not going to work. Okay, you just got to ignore those people. You just got to. Kids, you got to ignore those people. People are going to say, don't talk to them, you'll offend them. Just ignore those people and offend them. Better they go off into eternity warned than not warned. Now, we should never be offensive. All right, but the gospel is an offense to the world, especially in a proud country. When you're going to go up to people with the gospel and you're going to say, did you know that you're not good enough to go to heaven and you never will be good enough and you never can do anything in your life to be good enough to go to heaven? You need a Savior. That offends a lot of people, especially religious ones. They're the worst. The church-going ones, the ones who go 7 days a week, the ones who say prayers every day, they're the hardest people to win to Christ because their complete faith and trust is in themselves and all the things they're doing. But look, if you're going to be a soul winner, you have got to understand you're going to receive opposition from your family. You're going to receive opposition from people in your church. And they're going to tell you why your method doesn't work. What's your method, you can ask them. Well, they don't have one, but yours doesn't work. But you're finding that it does work. Not all the time. Some people say, that's enough. I don't want to hear it anymore. You just have to walk away. Others aren't ready to receive Christ, but you can leave the seed sown in their hearts so somebody else can water it. But here comes the pro, Simon. He's been a fisher all his life. Jesus was never a fisher. He was a carpenter. Verse 5, and Simon answering saith unto him, Master, we have toiled all night and have taken nothing. Listen, Lord, we've been out here all night with this. We know all about nets and so on and so forth. We're trying to get them washed up so the next time we can go out, they'll be ready and so on. But there's just no fish out there today. But Simon does, let's give him a little credit, he does have a little bit of faith. And at the end of verse 5, he says, nevertheless, at thy word I will let down the net. Now, that's not complete faith or perfect faith, but he says, well, Lord, you know, look, I can imagine these men, these big hunks of men, Simon, James, John, tough-working fishermen. I don't know if you can imagine pulling nets and fishing. These guys probably had some muscles on them doing this all their life. And they're probably exhausted. They're probably saying, Lord, we have been out here all night long. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net. And when they had this done, you know, that's what we need to do, is we need to take the Lord at his word. We need to take the Lord at his word. When you start hearing people saying, well, soul winning doesn't work in America anymore, and letting down your nets doesn't work in America anymore, you just got to dismiss them. And you just got to say, hey, it does work. I've seen people working it. God still saves sinners by confrontational soul winning, by people talking to them. It says, when they had this done, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes in their net break. And they beckoned their partners, that this would be James and John, I believe, if you read the rest of the story, which were in the other ship, that they should come and help them. So there's probably some other guys, too. We don't know their names. They came and filled both the ships, and so they began to sink. There have been times in America where churches would evangelize, and they'd use the two different methods of evangelism where the churches would get so packed they wouldn't know what to do. It was like a ship sinking. Now, this whole thing just overwhelms Simon Peter, and it should overwhelm us that God would use any of us. And he says in verse 8, and when Simon Peter saw it, he fell at Jesus' knees, saying, depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. Now, the Lord didn't buy any of that. He said, forget it, Peter. I'm not leaving you. We're going into business together. But you know something? There ought to be a feeling of humility by us in our ministries when God uses us. We ought not to get proud and say, well, I understand why God's using me. That would make sense. No, we ought to be humbled by it. We ought to say, Lord, I don't know how you can use somebody as sinful as me, but you can. Now, dear brother and sister that's gathered here this morning, you might think you're too sinful for God to use, but you're not. You're not. God can use you, and God wants to use you. And you may think you're disqualified to do anything in the Lord's work. You can be a personal soul winner. John chapter 4, we actually read the story in the Bible of a woman who had had five husbands and she was living with a man outside of marriage. She was so embarrassed about her lifestyle that she went at noon to the well to get water. The Bible tells us women all went in the morning. She went at noon. But she had a divine encounter that day with Jesus Christ. Jesus sat on what was called Jacob's Well, still over there in Israel, if you go. And right there, Jesus led that woman to Christ. And she believed. And says she left her water pot and everything. She started running into the town and telling all the men, come, see a man who told me all things that ever I did. Is not this the Christ? And that woman, with that sinful testimony of a life behind her, began witnessing about her new life in Christ. And it says many in the cities of Samaria believed. In fact, her effect was so profound that Jesus had to stop his journey for 2 days to stay in that town just to minister to all the people who began to inquire because of what the lady said. Now, why are stories like that in the Bible? To give people like me hope. As bad as I was, God can still use me. And why in the world he'd make me a pastor is beyond my understanding. But there's not a person in this room who is disqualified from leading other people to Christ. There's not a person in this room who's too young. There's not a person in this room who's too old. If you'll get yourself a fishing pole that is a gospel invitation and know how to lead someone to Christ, you win people to the Lord. That nobody else can. You're the only one they're going to cross paths with. Now, I'm all for being a good testimony. All right? Don't get me wrong what I just said. I believe once you're saved, the Lord wants to clean up your life. You know, we catch the fish, the Lord cleans them. Amen? But we need to realize you don't have to wait till you're in some state of perfection to start being a witness. You don't have to wait till you have the perfect marriage. You don't have to wait till every single inkling of hypocrisy is off of your record. You just start witnessing now. And God's power will be lent to the gospel. While you're trusting in the Lord to clean yourself up, you start witnessing. And you'll feel like Peter. You'll start leading people to Christ. It'll be the most exciting thing. It's like having a new baby. I don't know if you ever had babies before, but we did. We had three babies, and having those babies, man, that was an event. That was exciting, having children, the day of their birth. And man, it's just as exciting leading someone to Christ. I've never seen anybody lead someone to Christ and go into depression. Man, they're excited. And they're excited in heaven, too. There is rejoicing in the presence of the angels of heaven over one sinner that repents. More than 99 just people that need not repentance. And man, heaven must be a loud place. It must be loud because they're rejoicing. Every time a sinner down here on earth comes to repentance and trusts in Christ as their Savior, there is rejoicing in heaven. There's rejoicing in heaven over the choir special. No, don't say that. There's rejoicing in heaven over a well-taught Sunday school lesson. No, it doesn't say that. There's rejoicing in heaven over a well-played piano special. No, it doesn't say that. But there's one thing we can do on earth here that causes rejoicing in heaven. And that is to bring a sinner to repentance. That's where they have such a radical change of mind and heart. They turn to Jesus Christ and trust Him as their Savior. And somehow word gets up to heaven. Another one just got rescued. Another one's been saved from going to hell. Another one's been saved from being cast into a lake of fire. And everybody starts rejoicing. It says in the presence of the angels. The angels don't understand salvation. They desire to look into the things you and I know as saved people. What does that mean? There's rejoicing in the presence of the angels in heaven. I think it's all of our loved ones who are already up there. When they get word someone has been saved, they start rejoicing. I don't care who you're, a teenager. You could lead other teenage children to Christ and they'll be rejoicing in heaven. And you'll feel unworthy. Verse 9, for he was astonished and all that were with him at the draught of the fishes which they had taken. You know, I believe it would astonish you too if you knew how much God wants to use you in this area of being fruitful for the Lord. I really do. Some of you have not yet led one person to Christ. I believe it would be astonishing if you knew how much God wants to use you to fish for men. And how many you could fish, how many kids you could win to Christ at school. We're searching. They're hungry. They're following the crowd. You ever see kids at school nowadays? They look like clones. Man, I drove past North Collins School one day and about 30 girls came out with pajamas on. They really did. I thought, man, when did they start having pajama parties at schools? I did. I was going up to guys, get some paint. I just happened to go when time was letting out. All had pajamas on. Well, I found out that's what they wear nowadays. They're like little clones coming out of there. They're following the crowd. You know what they need? They need a leader. They need one person in the school to lead them to Christ and say, I know which way to go. Follow me. Turn them to Christ. That's what they need. They need one man, one woman, young man, young woman in that school who will be brave enough and have the courage to say, I'm going to pay the price because their souls are worth it. They can laugh at me, they can mock me out, but I'm going to take a bunch of these kids to heaven with me. And when it was all over, the Lord said, fear not, from henceforth thou shalt catch men. And they said, man, we want to get in on this. Verse 11, when they brought their ships to the land, they forsook all. Bye, Dad, and followed him. Did you ever do that? I did that to my dad once. Went into his office, been in the ministry 6 months. I was crazy. I had no income. I had a wife, a couple kids. 6 months, I said, Dad, God's called me to preach. I can't work for you anymore. So I told him, I just can't work for you anymore, Dad. God's called me to be in the ministry. He wanted to give the whole grocery store, 2 farms to me. He sold that stuff years later and has lived on Easy Street ever since. But I just said, I want to get in on this. I want to do God's work. And I've never regretted that decision. Never regretted it. We need to fish a pole with a pole. We need to fish with nets. You know what nets are? They're ministries. They're ministries. We got, where's that thing? Look at this week here in the bulletin. We got patch clubs. You know what that is? That's a net in the water. Everyone in patch clubs ought to be a soul winner. A bunch of kids are coming into your net Wednesday night. You need to be a sensitive soul winner. We'll catch some fishes with patch club. Gowanda Nursing Home Thursday. You know what that is? That's a net in the water down here in Gowanda. Gospel should be preached. Now, you got to preach other things, teach other things, but the gospel should be preached at the nursing home. There will be some fish caught. Believe me, we've caught some fish at the nursing home. Teen activity, go-karting, you know what that is? A net in the water. Bring your unsaved teens. Pastor Seth to preach the gospel. Somebody will. Come up with $14. Bring a kid. He'll hear the gospel. We'll catch some fish with that net in the water. Young adults picnic at Charlie and Carrie Nolder's Friday. Find some young adults. Say, hey, we're having a picnic, church picnic. You know what happens? Somebody share the gospel there. It just takes a few minutes. Catch some fish. That's putting your nets, plural. Reformers unanimous. Singles picnic at Evangola State Park, Saturday. All you single people, divorced, senior citizens, widows, widowers. Say, hey, we're having a singles picnic at Evangola. You can bring somebody will share, Ty Warden, somebody will share the gospel. You know, we had ladies go up to this Hopevale Union Free School up here in Hamburg when it was open. We had them go every Monday night it was open that they let us come in, about probably 40 Mondays a year for 14 years. There's going to be a lot of girls in heaven because of that ministry. Right? They're all nets. They're all nets in the water. Every Sunday school class is a net in the water. Every missionary we support is a net in the water. That's why we've got to support missions. They're going out. We got about 100 now in different parts of the world, and they're going into that part of the world, and they're dropping a net to try to catch some souls for Jesus Christ. These two bus routes are two nets in the water. Our children's churches, junior churches, are nets in the water. Our seniors' fellowship is a net in the water. Our nursing home ministries is a net in the water. When we go to the prisons, a net in the water. Not, a lot of these people will never come to our church. Some of you don't want to. But they can get saved. They can get saved in the nursing home that far away from eternity. That close. Somebody can go catch some fish there before it's too late. You need to be involved with a fishing pole, but you also need to be involved in ministries. And all of you that are in ministries, Daily Vacation Bible School, last week here, we put a net in the water. We got 19 cards of little children that went out with soul winners and heard the gospel and said that they had accepted Jesus Christ as their Savior. What if we'd have been just like so many other churches and said, well, vacation Bible schools don't work anymore. Let's just wash our nets and mend our nets and say, hey, look how beautiful our nets are. Now you got to stick them in the water. Vacation Bible school this week in chapel. It's a net in the water. I don't know if we'll catch anything. I have no idea. Are we going to throw it in the water? Maybe we'll say we toiled all night, Lord, didn't catch anything. He'll say, well, try again. Sometimes you go fishing, you don't catch anything. Sometimes you throw a net. The Erie County Fair booth is a net in the water. The Dunkirk Fair tent is a net in the water. It's all they are. What are we trying to do what our Lord said? The float in the parade, going to the festivals, passing out tracts, all nets in the water. And I want to encourage you to be involved. Jesus said, and I'll close with this, in John 17:20, Jesus said that people, he prayed, in John 17:20, he prayed and he said that people, in his prayer, he said that people will believe on him through your word. That's what he prayed. John 17:20. And I reckon he gets his prayers answered. And that's a verse you can go out with confidence. You can go out and say, Jesus already prayed that people would believe on him through my word. I have never met a soul winner who has tried and tried and tried who eventually led souls to Christ. Some of you, when you came to this church, never led a soul to Christ. You came from other churches. For some reason, you never led a soul to Christ, but since you've been here, you've learned how to, you've tried it, and it's worked. But we need a whole lot more. We need some of you to get some fishing poles, and others of you, all of us have fishing poles, do it individually, but all of us have ministries. And even though most of the time the ministries are spent teaching those that are already saved, you can always, at the end at least, share the gospel in case there's one person there that day. Every church service is a net in the water. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. As our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed, we just want to think for a few moments and we'll sing and go home. Do you have a fishing pole? Those of you that are believers in Christ, Jesus said, follow me and I will make you to become fishers of men. Boy, one of the greatest things that will ever happen in your life to help you overcome your problems, your mental problems, your emotional problems, is to get after some lost sinners and try to win them to Christ. You'll forget you even have any problems. Listen, your best day or your worst day on this earth is better than their best day in eternity. You think about that. Your worst day on this earth is better than their best day in eternity if they die without Christ. It'll help you. If you're here today and you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, then where you're sitting, I want to encourage you to believe the gospel. And the Bible says, obey the gospel. What does that mean? It says, call on the Lord. Realize you can't save yourself. We've all sinned. Our sins have offended a holy God. Our sins have separated us from God. But Jesus, by dying on the cross, built a bridge through him where we could get back to the Father. He said in John 10:9, Jesus said, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved. The door to heaven is through Christ, not through this church, not through any other church, not through any other religion. It's a person who died for your sins. And if you need Jesus Christ as your Savior, then right where you're sitting, I want to encourage you to trust in him with all your heart and not in yourself. And with repentance and faith, call on the Lord. Maybe you could pray something like this right where you're sitting and say, Dear Heavenly Father, I acknowledge that I am a sinner, that I am lost, that I cannot save myself, and I need a Savior. Lord Jesus, I'm asking you right now to save me from my sins. I believe you can. Because I believe you died on that cross for all my sins. And you were buried and you rose again. I accept you and ask you to come into my life and have mercy upon me. Please give me eternal life. As our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed, some of you today have trusted in the Lord as your Savior, I hope. Only God knows your heart. Four times this whole blessed book says, For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That's not my promise. That is a God who can't lie. Maybe you called on the Lord this morning. I'm so glad for you. No one else is looking around, but I wonder if you could at least just slip your hand up right now real quick. Let me see your hand and then take it down and say, God knows my heart. I've asked Jesus to save me. God bless you and you. Anyone else? Raise your hand up. Yes, you too. God bless you. Amen. God knows my heart. While you were praying, I was praying. I asked Jesus to save me. I meant it today. I'm not kidding. God knows my heart. I was serious. I'm not going to call you out or approach you or anything like that, but anyone else? Raise your hand right up. Real quick, take it down. God knows my heart. I've asked Jesus to save me today. Lord, bless now, we pray, as we dismiss the service. Help us both, Lord, both. Oh, God, help us to do what Jesus said and implied, that we would all have fishing poles. And wherever we are, try to fish for them one at a time, but we'd also use our ministries as a soul-winning net, a tool, and even create other ministries or opportunities to win souls. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's close.